whether the whole universe was created for any other reason. End quote. Now that's pretty wild right there from C.S. Lewis, from C.S. Lewis, Why Church? Well, if you got your copy of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, I shared with you several weeks ago that you come to the third and last section of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning in verse 19, as it begins off by stating, therefore. And what is the therefore? Therefore. And this is the third section. Listen, he had already set the groundwork about Jews who had gotten saved, and then they begin to waver in their faith. They begin to abandon the way of Christ. So he comes there, and he's trying to bring an encouragement to them. And he says, because you're saved, therefore, brethren, having boldness, now we've got this confidence, that's what he's saying, you have boldness, we've got this confidence, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 21, and having a high priest, Jesus Christ is our Lord, over the house of God. And he comes and he says, listen, we can do three things because of this. Because we have this boldness, because we have this right to approach God in a holy and just manner, he says, look, you can do three things because of that. He said, look, verse 22, he says, first, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What he's saying there is this. He says, we can come to him, we can come to God without fear of being cast away. Isn't that awesome? Me and my brother had prayer this morning before we came into the sanctuary. We had prayer this morning. We have that confidence that we can go to God, and not just merely that we pray, but that he can hear us, and he'll not cast us out of his presence, that he will hear what we're saying to him. We can come to him with the assurance in our heart that he has forgiven our sins and has remembered our sins no more. Listen, I can't even begin to get over that, okay? That I can approach God and he doesn't remember my sins. Look at verse 23. Here's the second reason we can come in boldness. He says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Remember, they were wavering. He says, listen, you have Jesus Christ. You have your confession of hope. He says, look, you can come without wavering. He says, we don't have to waver. We don't have to sit in a situation where we are struggling and wonder whether or not we are grounded in Christ. You hold fast the confession of your faith as Jesus being your Savior, as him being your Redeemer. You hold fast because the Word of God has told you that if you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of your sins, and you have he has come and placed his Spirit in you, listen, you're saved. End of story. Deal with it. Put a period. I'm saved. Who in this congregation can say, without a doubt today, I'm saved. I'm saved. Amen. Amen. Listen, who can say, own it. Amen. Own that. Own your identity. Own who you are, okay? And here's the third reason you can come. He says this, verse 24. He said, let us consider. Now, the actual word there is think about. He says, let us think about. Let us consider. Let us think about. Let us consider one another. Now, he's talking to the church here. He's talking corporately to the church, not to just one or any single individual. He's saying to the church, get your focus down on this. Think about this right here when you come together as a church. You think about this. And what is it that we are to think about? Well, here's what I believe that we're supposed to be thinking. We are to mentally and logically to be thinking through how to, look what the scripture says, stir up one another. We're to figure out how to stir up one another. The Greek is paroxysm. It means to irritate. Now, a lot of people sit around in church and they think about how they can irritate somebody else. How can I know this is going to irritate them, so I'm going to just do this and see how they react to that. And listen, I believe a lot of people, I think, sit around and think how they can irritate me. Amen? This is the pastor. He doesn't have enough on him. Let's just poke him a little bit. Yes, but that's not what he's saying here. That's not what's going on here. Stir up is in the positive tense. It's not in the negative tense. It's in the positive tense. He's saying this. He's saying, think about how you can stimulate. Think how you can incite, how you can encourage, how you can motivate. That's what the word is that she's being used right there. How can I motivate this person to love and to good works? How can I motivate this person to love and good deeds? Not how I can discourage them. Not how I could go and point out every fault that this person has under the sun. Not that I can go and discourage them. Not how I can draw them out away from the church and try to drive them out of the assembly. Not how I can get them disgusted with the church. Not how I can get them fed up with the assembly of God's people. But how can I motivate them? How can I encourage them to love each other more and to good deeds? How many of you came in here thinking that today? It's what the Word of God says we should be doing. When we assemble together, we should motivate, stir up, encourage one another in love, to love each other more. Listen, I know it's hard for me to love Steve Schaefer all the time, but, you know, God tells me to stir up ways to love him. But you know what? I got to give him a way to love me. You see what I'm saying here? So look, he's saying this. This is our motivation. He says, when you come together as a body of believers, you come together and this is what you are to be doing. This should be your state of mind. That's what he's saying here. He says, and keep in mind, this is for the church. I want to be very specific to you here. This is for the church, not just me. I want you to understand this. I'm not the only one that should be thinking about ways to motivate you all to love and good deeds. That's not my primary job. What is my primary job? Anybody know what my primary job is as a pastor of this church? Anybody tell me what it is biblically? What is it? To preach the word and to... So my thing is I'm to preach the word to you to equip you how to... To love others and stir up ways to find how to do that. So it's not just me that should be thinking about ways to motivate you all to love each other. This message is what he's talking about here. This message is corporately. It's to the church. This is for you individually. Because I think oftentimes we look at this verse and we think, this is for the preacher. Because that's his job. He's in control. He's over all this. Listen, the day that I become in control of this church is the day you need to ask me to leave. If God is not in control, then the right person is not in control of this church. I need to be under his control. You get me? He's supposed, listen, that's not his job. The preacher, he's supposed, it's not just his job. He's just think up ways to motivate, to think up ways to get you involved. Is to you are to think up ways. We are to think up ways to get you to do what you are supposed to be doing. But that's not what he's saying. This is not just for the preachers. This is for the church. Now listen, I'm going to chase a little bit of a rabbit right here. I want you to watch this. I have to say this. If you can see, talking to each of you individually, if you can see where the church is lacking in some ministry, and you are saying, the church, you know what? The church should do this, or the church should do that, or the church doesn't do this very well, or the church doesn't do that very well. You know what? The church should do this more than that, or this and then more than that. Then listen to me very closely. Then most likely, if you're a born-again believer and a member of this church, and you're saying these things, it is probably this reason. God is revealing to you a ministry that you can get involved in and develop. Listen, it's not just my job to do everything. It's not just me. I've told you 100 times, it's not me, but it's we. It's our job to proclaim Christ, the cube. It's all of our jobs to evangelize. It's all of our jobs to proclaim Christ. Now, that's what he's saying right there. And he's saying that's what you do corporately, and that is to motivate each other. But before I can motivate you, I must get to know you. Not by mere name. Listen, I know some of you by mere name, or I know some of you strictly by appearance. You know, it's easy for you all to know me, but it's harder for me to all know you, for me to know all of you. It's to know each other more than mere name, but it's to know each other personally and individually. Now, is there a way that we all can do that in this church? Oh, we're getting there. Good choice, whoever said that. Listen, anybody who has children understands what I'm trying to say. Let's say that you've got 5 children. Everybody's like, whoa. Say that you've got 5 children or 3 children, or I don't care if you have 2 children. Then you've got to figure out what motivates each child, right, man? And honestly, what motivates each one is usually different than what motivates the other, amen? All of us are individuals. We are not alike. You know what? Zeke don't look like me, he don't think like me, and he doesn't like the same things I like. But we love one thing in common. You see it? We are not alike. God did not intend for us to be clones, or you would all look like me because, you know, anyways. Therefore, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Therefore, because of this, therefore, what motivates you may not motivate me, and what motivates me may not motivate you. That's why you need to be in Sunday school. That's why you need to be in Bible study. It's not just because of their programs at the church and I want you to support them. It's you need it. There are small. Those are the small groups here at Open Door Baptist Church. Now, what a novel thought. Now, watch. I'm not just throwing it out there, but I want to give you this. What a novel thought that I can go and sit in place and get to know somebody. Not text them across the church like some of you do. Yeah, amen. No, oh me. Give God his credit that he is due, amen? Listen. Listen, it's not text them or Facebook them, not just think that they are part of my friends or my friend group, but they are actually people I am pouring my life into, and they are pouring their life into me. Now listen to me very closely. You need that. Amen. I need that. And the vast majority of this church needs it. Just look around. Just look around. Listen, we need each other. And that's what he's saying to do when you come together. He says, when you come together, that's what you are to be doing. That's what your mindset should be doing. You are to be thinking about how can I motivate the people that I've gotten to know to love in a deeper way and to be involved in the kingdom work. Now he's talking about why we come into the assembly. Why do we come into the assembly? Why we gather together into this assembly, and he says it's irreplaceable in your life. Why? Because there's nothing else like the body of Christ. You'll never find anything else like the body of Christ that you find in here. You'll never find anything like the family of Christ, the assembly of God's people, the ecclesia, the coming together of the people of God. Listen, we need it. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we need it. It has, listen, why do we need it? Because it has spiritual purpose. It has a spiritual purpose. And listen, it has a God purpose too. And that's why he's telling these folks, these who are ready to leave Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about in this text. These people are wavering. They're thinking about, am I going to stay in the church or am I going out of the church? That's what he's saying. He's telling them part of your problem is that you're not coming together in your assembly and your faith is weak and you are immature. Now, I'm going to give you over the next few moments. Everybody take a deep breath. Next few moments, I'm going to give you 7 reasons why I and we need the church. And I'm going to root the things back into Scripture, but all of it comes out of the whole concept of this. Of coming together and being together. Let us pray. I almost forgot that, didn't I? Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for giving us church, for giving us your living body. So, Father, we come here before you. We bow our heads. We ask that you reveal to us truth through your word. Father, that you would help us to grow in you, that you would help us to be the right church before you. The Father, that you would look upon us with pleasure and we would be favorable in your sight. So, Father, we bow before you, Father, and we ask you to be upon this sermon, Father, to be empower it, empower me, Father. And I stand here before you as a man who is a sinner who needs to be cleansed of his sin. Father, I ask you to forgive me. Father, help me to repent, to turn away from the things that are not glorifying to you. Father, convict my heart and my soul, Father, that I would turn away, Father, those things that are not pleasing to you. Father, I pray if I'm not the one to speak your word, I pray that I am, but if I am not, that you would silence me and rise up the one that you would have to speak for you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So why do we come together? What is important about the assembly of God's people of coming together? Well, here is number one. Number one is this. I need someone to reprove me. I need someone to reprove me. We call that reproof. Now, we read that word, and in fact, you can go and look at it in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm not going to go there, but you can go there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it speaks of the word of God being there for the purpose of reproof. So why do I need somebody to reprove me? Well, first of all, I need to know what the word means to begin with, right? I need to understand what that word means. Well, the word means this. It means to correct. It means to straighten out error. It means to confront and straighten out that which is wrong, that which is in sin. Now, listen to me very closely. Most of the times, Christians don't like this. I don't. I don't like it. Most of the times, Christians don't like this, nor do they want this. But Scripture says we need it. God says that we need it. Listen, I need it. I need sometimes for somebody to come and just get in my face in love. Amen. To get in my face in love and about what's going on in my life. And you know what? Sometimes you need it too. But let me tell you something. You just can't launch into that. You just can't go and land-base somebody. You can't do that as some do. You have to go. You have got to build a relationship with someone in order to do that. Why? Because they got to know that you love them. They got to know that you have their best interest in heart, even in an uncomfortable situation. They've got to know that you care about them. They've got to know that you matter to them. Now, who most often will do this to you in your life? If you're anybody like me in my household, it's my wife. And it might be your husband. Amen. They will most often be the one who will come to you most of the time and confront you and say to you, look, man, or look, woman. But sometimes it could be maybe your mom or your dad.
Or your son.
Or your son, your pastor. Listen, I don't let my family off the hook on very much. I'm going to tell you that right now. It could be your pastor. Or listen, it could be a close friend, right? That's the usual people. But here's the bottom line is I need it. I need it because there are times in my life when I need to be helped. The word of God tells me that. The word of God tells me, look, I need the reproof. I need this. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he says this. He says, look, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, Scripture was written by man. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Don't give man the right to have the authorship of God's holy word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God says this. Here, ready? I'm going to unpack this for you in a very powerful way. Here, I'm going to unpack. God says this. We need that. We need that. We need to be reproofed. We need to hear truth. Therefore, we need to build relationships inside the church to allow this. That make you uncomfortable now, won't it? But that's what he says. He says, stir one another up, didn't he? He's talking to the church corporately. He says, look, inside the church, you need to build relationships to allow this for our own spiritual good, First, individually, it's individually good for me, personally, spiritually, but who is it secondly good for? The church corporately. It's for the good of the church, not just me, but it's also for the good of church. Now, here's the second reason I need church, is this. I need someone to exhort me. I need someone to exhort me. Exhortation. Exhortation. Now, the word exhort in the New Testament is the same word every time you find it. It's the same time. So every time you read the word exhort, it's the same word, the same thing, the same every time you find it. It's the same word that is used for the Holy Spirit. The word exhort means parakaleo. And now in some places, and it's the same for the Holy, sometimes used for the Holy Spirit, but in some places the Holy Spirit is called the paraclete. Anybody happen to know what that means? It means this, the one called alongside of. And what it means is this, sometimes is this, someone who will come up beside me and put their arms around me. Listen, it's a little bit different than the word reproof. It's a little bit different in its attitude and approach, okay? But it's someone who will come up and put their arms around me. Reproof is, I'm kind of getting in your face. It's in love, but it needs to be in love, but my conversation is different. My conversation in reproof is probably going to, at that point in time, if I'm reproofing somebody, it's going to be more direct and to the point. Exhortation is this. I come up beside you, I put my arm around you, and I say, hey, let me just walk with you for a little bit. Let me just talk to you for a bit. It might sound like this. Listen, I'm not going to preach to you. That would be kind of like reproof. I'm not going to preach at you. I just want to talk to you. I want to help if I can. So I would say something like this. How are you doing? How are you doing? What are you involved in right now? Okay, well, what does God's word say about that? What does God's word, what's God's word saying to your heart about this? What's God speaking into you, into your spirit? That's better than the heart. What's God speaking into your spirit about this? What's God teaching you right now in this that you're going through? What's God teaching you? In all that time that I'm doing that, I'm holding up the standard of God's word to you. In love, in compassion, in encouragement. I'm holding up the standard of God's word to you. Do you know why? Because the world is constantly feeding you and me the world's standards. It's relentless. It's absolutely relentless. The world is constantly feeding you and me the world's standards. Listen, if you are anything like me, and I believe that you are, I am constantly getting 6 days a week, 7 days a week, from every direction, the standard of the world. It starts like this. Well, I think that you, or here, I think that God, or maybe you should do this or do that or do the other, because listen to me, just do what's best for you. Whatever makes you and here it is, here it comes, this is the ultimate. Just listen to your heart, because God just wants you to be happy. But listen, the truth is this. You listen to this. Here's the truth. I can't listen to my heart. I'm telling you. I'm telling you that because God has told me that, and He's told you that too if you're reading His Word. You cannot listen to your heart. Why? Because the Word of God tells me my heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. So I can't listen to it. Brother and I spoke about this very thing this morning. I can't listen to that. But in all of my ways, I have to acknowledge Him. Why? Because he's the one that's going to straighten out my path according to his standards of righteousness. Because I'm called one of the little Christ. I'm the image of God. I'm the called out one. I'm the ecclesia. I'm the one who God found favor on and said, come unto me and I forgive you of all your sin. He says, you come and follow by faith. Come and follow. If I'm following Christ, that means I have to allow him to lead. Oh, people. And so the world comes and it tells me, listen to what your heart says. Listen to us. Listen to that person. Listen to that personality. No! No, no, no. I need someone to come and exhort me. I need someone to come and walk with me. I need someone to come walk beside me and say, let's hold up the standard of God. Amen. Amen. Oh, for somebody to come alongside of me in this world to help me walk in the pathway of Jesus Christ. That's why you need church. That's why I need church. That's why we need good, solid, spiritual relationships with one another. Amen? Now let me give you the third thing. The third thing is this. I need accountability. I need accountability. How many like that? Take your Bibles, put your finger in Hebrews, and go with me to Proverbs chapter 18. And let me just show you the first verse. Proverbs 18, verse 1. This is the verse that ends all verses right here. This is the verse that ends all verses when people say, I don't need to go to church to worship God. I don't need to go to church to believe in God, right? What does it say? Well, this is going to step on some toes. I'm just telling you right now. It's going to step on some toes. Listen, don't take this personal. It steps on my toes. Because there's times I think, you know what, I don't need to put up with all this. I'll just go do my own thing. Who has not said that? Tell me, somebody raise your hand who has not said that. That's right. We've all been there. Look what it says there, right? He comes right to the heart of it. He says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. Ouch. That's what accountability sometimes feels like, by the way. Now, just stop with that. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. Now, just stop with that. Do you know what that's saying? It's saying this. It's saying that when you separate yourself from the assembly of God's people, you're looking to carry out your own heart's desire. And what do we know about the heart? Deceitful and wicked. You're looking to carry out your own heart's desire. That's why I get worried about men. And I worry about men more than I do women. Now, I don't know why. I just do, but I do, okay? I've been pastor for a little while now, and I'm telling you, this bothers me when it comes to men. And I worry about men when I don't see them. We talked about that this morning. Another brother talked about another circumstance. We haven't seen a brother in a while. And when I don't see them, and they turn up missing, and I wonder, where are they and what are they doing? You know what the number one reason why you don't see people? We covered this a couple of weeks ago. The number one reasons why you don't see people on Sunday morning is I have to work. But we covered that. Remember, God gave you 6 days. He said this one, he commanded you, keep it holy, keep it set apart. Don't do your thing, you do my thing on this day. So when I don't see them for a while, I wonder what they're doing. And usually when they have withdrawn from fellowship, it's not good. It's not a good thing. And it's not good for them, and it's not good for their family, and it's not good spiritually in their lives. Why? Because they've withdrawn, because generally they are following something that their heart is telling them to do, and that their heart is telling, and what their heart is telling them to do is not good for them. You know, it's curing the desire, their flesh, but it's not curing the spiritual issue that's taking place. And so I watch men kind of withdraw from fellowship, and they've abandoned the fellowship, and I wonder, what's going on? What's going on? And then I will hear about it, and somebody will come up to me and say, did you hear about so-and-so? And I'll say, no. Well, did you hear about what he, oh, let me tell you something. What was that? He, oh, thanks. No, I didn't hear any of that. Let me tell you something. The heart wants what the heart wants. And it's almost always sin. Look what he says. Don't believe me? Don't believe me. Believe God. Look what he says. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. You go to some of the guys and you look at them and you say, listen, let me tell you, you need to come back. You don't need to be out. You don't need to be, you don't know withdrawal. You need to be in. You need to be following, you need to be following Christ. You don't need to be following your heart out there. And they will argue you up and down, one side or the other. They'll argue with you. And you say, in everything that you say to them, let me give you a little something on that. When that happens to you, and you're trying to talk to somebody about coming back to church, that right there, that argument that they're giving you is against the Word of God. It's against the Spirit of God. You've had it more than once. Zeke, I know you've had it several times. Look out, and John, you've had it. I'm looking at some of our teachers. You've dealt with this. Whatever that excuse is usually against the Word of God. Listen, so why do I need accountability? Why do I need the church? Because I need accountability. Why do I need a church? I need to be held accountable. Let me tell you about this. And I'm talking about this through experience. It's usually not pleasant. Accountability is usually not pleasant. But listen to me very carefully. God's Word says that it's good for you. It's not always wonderful, but let me tell you, being accountable is always good. Now let me give you the fourth thing. The fourth thing is this. I need intimacy. Intimacy. Into me see. Intimacy. Now listen, most women don't have any problem with this. I don't know why I'm gearing all this for men. Maybe I am. I don't know. But I don't know why. But let me tell you this. Most women don't have a problem with intimacy. Because the Lord knows you get two women together and within inside 3 minutes they're all sitting around crying. Amen? Women will just pour their hearts out to one another. Understand something, men are not that way. We are kind of standoffish. We're loners. We have a very large personal space. It's not because we smell bad either. But men are kind of standoffish. We're kind of loners. But know this. I want you to understand this. And I don't care what man you are. I don't care what you're wrapped around on your exterior. Listen to me very carefully. We want intimacy. In fact, let me let you in on something. Because a lot of men are going to throw rocks at me in a minute. We desire it. And we long for it. We want to be in fellowship. Watch me. Hold on. We want to be in fellowship with other men. Chuck Swindoll, many of you will have heard that name. Many of you know that name. He is a preacher and author. He founded the radio program Insight for Living. Anybody heard of Chuck Swindoll? Amen. Many of you. He is described as a man's man. He was a Marine, hoorah, right? He was a Marine. He fought in Korea and he got saved. And he speaks about when he got saved and he went into the church and he said, I was looking for what I had in the Marines, and he said, I couldn't find it. He was in the Marines, got saved, started in the church, and he was looking for what he had in the Marines in the church and he couldn't find it. However, he said, I came across a friend of mine, a fellow Marine, who had been in the same company, who had also gotten saved as well. And he said, we started talking about this very thing. So listen to what Swindoll said about this. Listen to what he said. This guy said to Swindoll, his former Marine that had gotten saved, this is what happened. He said, Chuck, he said, the only thing I miss is that old fellowship. He says, you remember, like when all the guys in our outfit, we used to go down to the tavern and, man, we just sit around and laugh and we tell stories and drink a few beers and really just let our hair down. What he's saying, he says, we let our guard down. He said, I just haven't found anything to take the place of that great time that we used to enjoy. He said, I ain't got nobody to admit my faults to or tell my problems to anymore. He says, to have them put their arm around me and tell me, I'm still okay. I'm with you, buddy. I hear you. Now, Chuck Swindoll said, those words hurt because they are so true. Amen. I agree with it. I agree with it. They hurt because they are so true. Then he quotes from the book, The Edge of Adventure. Quote, he said, ever wonder why people are pulled to the neighborhood bar? Well, there's your answer right there. Fellowship and camaraderie. A place to spill your feelings and hurts without being judged or chastised. You can do it in a bar. Listen very closely to me. The neighborhood bar is possibly the best counterfeit there is for the fellowship Christ wants to give his church. Do you hear me? The bar, I believe, has it sometimes more right than most churches when it comes to camaraderie and fellowship amongst men. Let me tell you this about the bar. Yes, amen. Very few show up. Let me tell you about the bar. Listen to me. It's an imitation. It's not the real thing. Why? Because, let me tell you, watch. Watch this. Let me tell you why. Because it dispenses liquor instead of grace. It gives escape rather than reality. But, now watch, but it is an accepting and an inclusive fellowship. It's unshockable and it's democratic. It's a place where you can tell people secrets that they don't tell others. You can tell people secrets that they wouldn't even want to tell anybody else. And I believe it's because of this. I believe because it's because most guys know that those that they are telling their problems to either have gone or are going through the same things. And so they're going through the same things they are. So they know that they won't be judged or looked down on. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't know what thing is you're going through. But I'll tell you what, there's somebody else in the church that's going through it or has gone through it. And there's somebody in this church who has overcome it. Amen. Now listen to me closely. They feel comfortable in going there and sharing. Men feel comfortable going there and sharing these feelings. Very personal, deep things. Intimacy. The only place where there's a real problem with this kind of fellowship and intimacy is in the church. We, especially men, put walls. But I want you to know this. The bar flourishes not because most people are alcoholics. That's not it at all. It has nothing to do with that. It's not because God has put in... It's not that. The reason why is because God has put in the human heart the desire to know and be known, to love and be loved, and so many seek a counterfeit at the price of a few beers. Listen to me. The church needs to work on its fellowship among men and women together. Amen? Amen. Listen, spiritual counterfeits. I remember hearing about it on the news, and they're in San Diego, they're in Los Angeles, they're in Nashville, they're in Atlanta, they're in New York, there are several places in Great Britain, and they were started by a guy by the name of Sanderson Jones, who is a British comedian and atheist. Now, I don't know what they do, but the picture I saw of one of their assemblies, there are around 300 of them, there are about 300 of them, it was called this, watch, it was called an atheist mega church. And guess when they held their meetings? On Sunday, say it, Sunday morning. And there was some, and what I had seen of this mega church, there was some lady on stage singing. Now, I don't know what they were singing. I don't know who they were singing to. But do you know how Sanderson started these mega churches, these atheist churches? Let me tell you how he got the idea. He went to a church's Christmas program or to a church's Christmas carol before Christmas, and he said, I walked in there and it was incredible. In fact, let me read to you what he said. He said this, if you think about church, there's very little that's bad. Now remember, this is an atheist, right? He says, there's very little that's bad. It's singing awesome songs, hearing interesting talks, on thinking about improving yourself and helping other people, talks on science and astrophysics. How would you like me to? You think I'm boring now? Let me do astrophysics for you, all right? You're preaching on science and doing all that in a community of wonderful relationships. So what part of is it not to like, Sanderson said. Now let me do this. Watch it. Here's an atheist who gets church better than some people on the rolls of this church. That's pretty hard, isn't it? Actually, he might get church better than me. Listen, Sanderson, he gets it. He understands it, and he went out and he said, I wanted that fellowship. I wanted that sense of atmosphere. Now, but I want you to notice something because I'm going to show you a video clip. I want you to know something. He couldn't describe what was they were doing or how it was taking place because he doesn't believe in God. That's why he couldn't explain it. But let me tell you something. I want you to notice what he hungers for. I'm going to tell you what it is, but you see it. I want you to hear him say it. What he's hungering for is fellowship. Show the clip. Maybe.
At a service this past weekend, there was singing, there was reflection, fellowship at a room full of non-believers.
Yeah, a movement dubbed the Atheist Megachurch has arrived in San Diego. 10 News reporter Michael Chen shows it to us.
In the news release publicizing it, the event was described as part foot-stomping show, part atheist church, and 100% celebration of life. Whatever you call it, expect to see plenty more of it in San Diego.
Sunday Assembly San Diego!
There are rousing words and rousing music. At first glance, this could be a scene from a megachurch, but there's one major difference. Everyone here is a non-believer.
My hope is that non-believers, non-theists, no longer have to hide in the shadows.
Debbie Allen and Jimmy Lyason organized this weekend's Sunday Assembly. A growing movement beginning in London more than a year ago, dubbed the Atheist Megachurch by supporters and detractors. On this day, music from the Beatles and a sermon focused on astrophysics in honor of astronomer Carl Sagan's birthday.
This is a picture of the whole sky.
Replaced the small atheist meetups of the past as some 300 turned out at the Balboa Park Club. Instead of faith, the topics are scientific and social issues. Organizers attribute the popularity of the movement to a rise in non-believers. According to a recent study, the number of Americans who have no religious affiliation continues to climb. It's now at 20%.
If you do not believe in God, why try to emulate a house of worship?
Well, we're not actually emulating a house of worship. What we're doing is we're providing some of the same universal needs.
Eliason says that includes the need for fellowship and connecting with others.
People are yearning for that connection. And so we provide a godless congregation for them to be able to do that.
Organizers hope to hold one Sunday assembly every month. If fundraising efforts succeed, the goal is to eventually find a permanent space, a belief in a new approach for non-believers. Michael Chen, 10 News.
At a service this past...
You know the only thing I see good that came out of that whole thing right there? And I want our kitchen committee to notice this. They had cake. Trying to provide all of us and basically the universal needs. And when did they do it? On Sunday morning, and they even call themselves a church. So do you know why church? Here, let me give it to you. Because God created us for intimacy, for fellowship, for one another. He created us, one another, each of us, and saved us for fellowship. Fellowship with one another, and also with Him. Amen? That even those who do not believe, listen, even those who do not believe in God hunger for it. Why? Because that's the way God created us. Now watch. Here's point number five, and why do I need church? Point number five, I need, you come back next week and I'll tell you. Oh, that makes me feel good. There wasn't all amens. Oh, well, I got it if you want me to go ahead and go. No, I know you would. Listen, let me ask you today. Do you long for fellowship? I do have more points, but I'm going to ask you, I'm going to stop right here today. I'm going to ask you, do you long for fellowship? Listen, according to God's word, you do. Do you long for fellowship according to God's standards is what I should be asking you. Do you seek fellowship more from God's standards, or do you seek fellowship more with the world? It's a nice place to be, isn't it? Preacher preaches a little bit too long, but all in all, it's a good place to be on Sunday morning. But why are you here? What standard are you looking for? Do you long to have intimacy and fellowship with God Himself? Maybe you're here today and you know what? You're empty inside and you're looking and saying, you know what? I really just don't feel anything. I'm just empty inside. And I'm feeling isolated. I'm feeling far off. I'm feeling abandoned and lonely. But listen, here's what you know. Inside, deep inside, God's Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and He's saying, look, come. Come to me. I got that fellowship that you're looking for. And once you come to me, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'm going to come alongside of. And I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to lift you up. And there's sometimes I'm going to have to teach you a couple things. I'm going to have to set you, turn you around, and put you back on the right track. There's going to be some time when I do that, but I'm never going to abandon you along the way. You're sitting here, and you're laden, and you're burdened with many burdens. And Jesus is calling you, listen, He's calling you, cast your burdens upon me. Listen, unload it. That's what He's saying. Unload that. And put up. Up on me, and I'm going to carry it with you. Jesus is calling you to cast your burdens, and listen, when you do that, He will come alongside of you and give you what you need to either endure or to have victory over your burden. Amen? Amen. Jesus bids you to come to Him simply by faith. By faith. And faith comes by knowing and believing that His word is true. The Holy Spirit is telling you it's true. Come. Maybe you're battling with some issue in your life right now. and you need some prayer. Amen? Who doesn't need prayer? Amen? Maybe you need some prayer and you need some encouragement in your life. And I'm going to, listen, come up here. There's a couple of guys on each side. I'm standing in the middle, but there's a guy on each side who wants to pray with you. Someone that you can trust and confide in, that they're not going to go back to the pew and blabber to their wife or go home and talk about it over lunch or anything. It's not going to happen. If they do, I'll throw them out of the church. I set them on the right path, right? But you come. There's people who want to help encourage you, to lift you up, to help burden those, carry those burdens that you're struggling with. Maybe you need to come and confess before God that you are struggling in a sin. Let's be honest. Who's struggling in a sin? I'll put both arms up. Amen. I got you. Maybe you need to come and seek that fellowship with God about this matter. I cannot forgive you of your sin, but I know who can. Amen. Maybe you need to come and confess before God that you're struggling. That's the truth. And that you need to share, and maybe you need to share with someone so that you can be accountable to them. Maybe you need some accountability in your life. Listen to me, come. Come and let the love of Christ in. Praise be, and we can come. Come on, but listen, you have to come and open yourself up. You have to come in a place that you feel safe, not in a bar, but a place where you can feel safe, where you can get God's standards issued and proclaimed to you. Come and let the Spirit of God minister to you. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Come and let the church love you. Come and let the church minister to you. Come in fellowship. Come in accountability. Come in reproof. Come how you are. But here's what I know. These are the things of why church, and they're not my reasons, they're the God's reasons. Amen. Father God, I pray and give this invitation over to you. Father, I pray that you will now, Father, take over. Father, not that you didn't have control before, but Father, even more now, Father, that you will convict not just our hearts, but our spirit, Father, that we would turn to you, Father, for your standard, for what you would have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Will you please?